I'm going to do a one-off today, and then Matthew's going to teach next week. But I'm going to do a one-off, and something that just the Lord's laid upon my heart. It has to do with God's purpose in our lives. If you have not surrendered your life to follow Jesus, if you know, maybe you've been coming to church, maybe this is your first time coming to church, whatever it happens to be. But if you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, let me tell you what Jesus is doing in your life. Jesus is trying to bring you to the place where you will surrender and yield your heart to follow him. That's what he's at work doing. That's what he's trying to do in your life right now if you've not said yes to Jesus. If you've said yes to Jesus, if you're a Jesus follower, if you're a believer, I'm a Christian, I'm going to tell you today what God's doing in your life. I'm going to tell you about what God's doing in your life, and it's going to take us a little bit of a journey, but I'm going to tell you, and when you leave here, there will be no doubt to you about what God is doing in your life, at least at this level of what I'm going to talk about. And some of you will be encouraged, some of you will not be encouraged. And I'll let you figure out whether you're going to be encouraged or not, okay, as we go through this. So let me pray one more time. Jesus, help me. Help me, Jesus. And help me to present, to teach what you've laid upon my heart. And Lord, I pray that you'd breathe life to it. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name,
amen.
So we're going to go back to the very beginning. Back to creation, back to where God had created plants and animals and created the planets and all that stuff, and then God got busy creating man. Here's what he says in Genesis chapter 1. It says, God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. And that's what God did. God created a man, then God created a woman, and God created them to be in his image. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but human beings are unique and peculiar in that we are the ones created in all of creation in God's image. You know, sometimes people say, well, people are no different than animals, or animals, you know. The reality is there is no animal that's been created except human beings that are made in the image of God. That's just the reality. And some people don't like that and so on, but Adam and Eve, as perfectly as possible for a created being, were put on this planet to reflect the image and the nature and the character of God in creativity, in intelligence, in moral situations, in empathy, in compassion, in justice, in relationship to one another. That they're as perfectly as they possibly could, as created beings, they were made in the image of God to reflect God to the rest of creation as it was going to unfold. You know, Adam and Eve, and they have kids and so on. And there's a whole lot of stuff in that. But then Adam and Eve did what? They disobeyed. You know, God gave them one command and they disobeyed. And when they disobeyed, it corrupted or it changed the image of God. They still reflect the image of God. Every single person that's ever been born on this planet has reflected the image of God at one level or another. That has never stopped, and it never will stop. But the perfect reflection of the image of God that started with Adam and Eve got corrupted. It got distorted. It got changed. It got, let me use the word, it dimmed the light of God that was supposed to reflect. You know, it's like the sun reflecting off the moon, but it got, the nature of God reflected off of us, but got dimmed. So it's not as clear, it's not as bright, it's not as obvious sometimes as what it's supposed to be. So that's what God did. And they no longer reflected God. They lived in shame and hid and blamed and so on. And right from the very beginning, I mean, Cain, the whole fall happens, and they walk out of the garden because they're kicked out of the garden. They don't walk out, but they're kicked out of the garden. And then they give birth to Cain and Abel, and what happens? Somebody kills somebody. The first family fight. The first family drama. Anybody have family drama? Okay, yeah. This was the first family drama, okay? And Cain kills Abel right from the start. And by the time, a few hundred years go by, now you're at the time of Noah, and it says that God looked down at what was going on with the human race, and he was sad that every intention of their heart was selfishness. And he was sad that he ever made human beings. He wished he had never made them. So what started out as human beings being made in the image of God, reflecting the light of God, reflecting the image of God, got so messed up. And then a period of time goes by, and I mean, I'm going really fast here, but a period of time goes by, and Paul said it this way. He said, when the fullness of time came, God sent his son born of a woman. Whenever the time was right, God works on his own time, and whenever the time was right, God sent his son Jesus to this planet to live, to die, to be buried, to raise from the dead, and to ascend back into heaven so that he then could plant his Holy Spirit and the seed of the gospel in human hearts that will respond to him, and he begins the process of restoring each person to the image of God that it was originally intended to be. Okay? God's on a restoration process. Now, if you've not surrendered to Jesus, go back to what I was saying a little while ago, if you've not surrendered to Jesus, the restoration process has not started. You're still outside my mind just went totally blank. You're outside of the shop. You're the junkyard car outside the shop, but when you say yes to Jesus, he moves you from outside, he moves you into the shop, and he begins a restoration process. He begins working in everyone. It's a slow process, but he begins this process of restoration. Are y'all with me? That's what he's doing. And my conviction, this is a total side note here, it's free, but this is my conviction. You know why the world is so messed up when it comes to sexual stuff? You know, when it comes to whether it's male, female, it's, you know, I mean, all, you just put it all, the whole soup together, just put it all in a can and shake it up. You know why it's all messed up? Is because the enemy hates the fact that a man and a woman can create someone in the image of God. He hates it. I mean, he has hated the fact that human beings were made in the image of God and angels were not, and he's hated it ever since, and he hates it to this day, and we have not seen all the weirdness around the sexual stuff in our world, sexual stuff, sexual identity, all, we've not seen the end of it. It will find a new form. It will find a new path. It'll find something new to reveal, because the enemy hates the reality that Barbara and I made 3 kids in the image of God. And we adopted 2 kids that were made in the image of God by some other parents in Cambodia. He hates it. You know, Riley, your little baby back there, made in the image of God, the enemy hates the fact that you guys made this baby in the image of God. Y'all get the picture? That's why it's so messed up. And that's a side note, okay? Has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. And ultimately, every follower of Jesus will reflect God the way God intended when he created Adam and Eve. Ultimately, that's what will happen. Here's what it says in 1 John, the Apostle John. He said, dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Jesus was the exact representation of God. Here's how some of those scriptures go. Christ is the exact likeness of God, 2 Corinthians 4. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God, Colossians 1. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, Hebrews chapter 1. Jesus was the exact reflection of God to the human race. And God's plan is that every single follower of Jesus will ultimately look like Jesus. Here's what Irenaeus said, an early church father from the second century. He said, Christ became what we are so that we might become what he is. That's what God's doing in your life. If you're a follower of Jesus, this is what God's doing in your life. He is at work to make you like Jesus. That's what he's at work to do, is to make you like Jesus. Now, there's lots of other stuff he's doing. But that's the primary thing he's doing, is to make you like Jesus. Here's what the scriptures teach. The Lord, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Lord makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Ephesians 4, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God. Or Galatians 4, oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through the labor pains for you again. And they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. Till Christ has done all of its work. Till you look like Jesus. 1 John, another passage in 1 John. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Romans chapter 12, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. He says, let God transform you. You know, the word there that says, let God transform you, that's where we get the word metamorphosis from. You know, where a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. You know, we're a tadpole. It's funny, we mentioned this last night at our dinner table, and I said polywog, and my grandkids said, it's not polywog, it's a tadpole. Well, they're the same thing, you know, but you get in an argument with your, you know, 7-year-old grandchild about, anyway, it's a metamorphosis that happens. He says, let God transform you. The idea that let God morph you from what you are to what he wants you to be. Let him bring about this change in substance. Let him bring this change about in reality. That the whole idea of metamorphosis in the science world, and not just in the science world, but is the idea that it's a change in form and structure and substance. So what Paul's saying is, let God change you in form and structure and substance by changing the way you think. Let me center in on one verse. It's a verse that Christians love. Romans 8 says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Let's read this out loud together. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. God causes everything to work together. If you love God, and love is like, yeah, I acknowledge him. No, love is like, you've committed yourself to him. When I say I love my wife, it means I am committed to my wife. She is the priority of my life as far as human relationships go. That's what I mean when we say I love someone. Okay? When I love my kids, it's because my kids, I hate to tell you all this, but you already know it, I'm more committed to my kids than I am to you guys. Now, I love my church. I love what I do. I love you, all of you. But I love my kids way more. And I love my wife more than I love my kids. One time, one of my kids was messing around and mucking up. And I said to him, I said, you know what? She was my wife before she was ever your mother, and she'll be my wife long after you're out of this house. You will not treat her that way. Just how it works, okay? And if you got some other arrangement, like you love your kids more than you love your spouse, you're messed up, and your family's going to be messed up. It's just the reality. Okay, again, that's a whole other side note, okay? I don't know where that came from. But if you love God, God takes the good, the bad, and the ugly and does something wonderful with it. He takes it and he works to accomplish what he's wanting to accomplish. And he actually says everything. He takes everything. Like, that's a big word, everything. A number of years ago, Barbara and I, when we were youth pastors over in Eastern Washington, we brought a bunch of students over to the Seattle Center to the China exhibit. I don't know if you remember that 40 years ago, those of you that are old enough. But they had this traveling exhibit where they, you know, showed how they made paper, you know, in antiquity and all of these things. But one of the things there was these silk embroideries, and it just fascinated me. I mean, I sat there for a long time because they're embroidering these you know, pictures. And they have some of them done, but they're embroidering some. And they got one, like on one side, they got this beautiful orange koi. And then you go to the other side, and it's a panda bear. And then it's a koi, and it's a panda bear. I mean, I spun the thing. I went on one side. I went on the other. Like, how do they do that? How do they make this work? And it wasn't until later that I read about it. It's called, just so I have it right, it's actually called double-sided silk embroidery is what it is. And what they would do is they just with such precision, they take that embroidery thread, and after they've, you know, they're working on the koi, they tuck the end of it behind the piece of material that they're, you know, silk screen that they're working with, and then they tie on the other side, they tuck the other piece back behind it, and so in the end, you got this double-sided thing that you see no knots whatsoever. Now, every analogy breaks down, okay? I understand this. But that's kind of what God's doing. He's taking everything in our life, and he's making something good out of it. That's what he's doing. He just take all of it. It doesn't matter what it is. He will take it. And God uses everything. And when I mean everything, it's like I can mess up, and I have messed up. And you have messed up. Turn to the person next to you and say, you've messed up, man. It's just the truth. We've messed up. But God will take our mess ups and he'll do some amazing things with our mess up. I mean, I could stand up here today in great pride tell you about some mess ups that have turned out incredible. Incredible. I mean, it's like you go like, how does that happen? Do you know what I'm talking about? Because he does. It's one of the things God does. And you know what? God will take other people's messing with you. How many of you have ever had someone else mess up your life and mess up with you? Yeah, okay, so a lot of us, most of us. And God will take those mess up things that happen because of other people. And then God will take the way life messes with you. You know, the health diagnosis or the business that goes belly up or whatever else that happens to be. God will take all those things and he'll just do this work of working all together to do something good. And we love that idea that there's something good going to come out of that. Now, let me tell you what the good is, okay? Because sometimes we're like, oh, that means God's going to turn my financial picture around and it's going to be like win the lottery kind of thing. That's not necessarily what he's talking about. Here's how the rest of the verse goes. For we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him, who love God, and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them, what? That's what the good is. The good that God takes everything and works it together to do this good thing. The good is to make you like Jesus. That's the good. Now, sometimes that good includes financial things. Sometimes that good does include healing. Sometimes that does include reconciled relationships. Sometimes that includes, I mean, all kinds of stuff that we go, well, that's all good stuff. But the number one good thing that God is trying to do with all of the stuff in your life is he's trying to make you like Jesus. That's what he's at work doing, is making you like Jesus. That's God's purpose, is that ultimately we will all be restored to reflect the nature, the character of Jesus. That's what he's at work doing. And the verse says, and when he says everything, again, it's an all-encompassing thing. And God uses the good, the bad, and the ugly. Like, here's some things that I just wrote down. I mean, just like, okay, what would be some of those things in my life? The dryer breaks down. The washing machine breaks down. And when the washing machine breaks down and the dryer breaks down in my house, there's 8 people living in my house, it's a big deal. Because that machine is running 24/7. I mean, it's just going. I said to my daughter yesterday, or day before, whatever, I said, you're doing laundry again? And she said, it's always going. And you, any of you that have little kids, you know. I mean, it's like they can get 10 sets of clothes dirty in a day. Right, Sarah? Yeah. And my washing machine breaks down, my dryer breaks down, my dishwasher breaks down, my riding mower breaks down. And somebody said, why don't you just go buy a new mower? You know, our mower, we bought it, I don't know, however many years ago. And I said to this person, it was actually Vaughn, Kevin, is who it was. She said, why don't you just go buy a new mower? I said, the gremlin in that lawnmower is not going to win. I am going to defeat that little demon gremlin. And I did. I defeated it. My lawnmower runs again. Critters under the floor, family drama, medical family needs, broken relationships, health crisis, lawsuit, broken down cars, and did I mention family drama? I mean, that's just a short list of things that I, you know, like this just came to my mind. And God wants to take every one of those things and he figures out how to do a work in our lives to make us like Jesus. Let me tell you a little bit about a few things about things, okay? Some things that are in our life, God just has to use like a little tiny thing to make it like start looking like Jesus. You know, like he just, like the little nail file. It's like he's just like not that big a deal, and he just, you know, it's just a thing that he just has to work on because it's not looking like Jesus like it should. But there are other things that are not little things. There are other things that are like bigger things. Right? And so sometimes God's got to do, and it starts like almost never does this hurt. But you start doing this, and eventually it's going to hurt. And sometimes God's work to make us like Jesus creates pain in our lives. And if that doesn't work, then God gets out a big old file. And he starts like filing on Dennis's head. You know, he's got his foot on his, you know, like he's just working on him. Anybody ever had a big file used on him? Okay. Yeah, you can use it. I'll loan it to you afterwards, but you got to give it back. And then when it gets really nasty, he gets out the rasp, the wood rasp, and he starts rasping on us. Y'all with me? And the rasping doesn't feel good. But and it's embarrassing sometimes. And we're like, oh, I don't like this, and I don't want this, and I, why is he doing this to me? Why, you know, all the is really about getting rasped. He's using a rasp on us, okay? That's what's happening. But in God's work, his rasping on us, his sanding, his filing, whatever it happens to be, All of those things is about his ultimate goal of making us like Jesus. And again, he'll take the good. He'll take your failures, your shortcomings, your, you know, things you've been, have control. He'll take everything, and he'll take all the good things, and he takes the big things, and he takes the little things. And somehow he uses all of those things, and he uses all of his work to do a work to make us like Jesus. And we can cooperate with him. We can cooperate with him. Or you know what we can do? We can fight with him. And let me just tell you a little secret about fighting with God about what he's trying to do in your life. You're not going to win. You will not win. Right? I mean, you're just not going to win. He's going to keep working, and he's going to keep working. Here's what J.B. Phillips said in his New Testament translation. It's a great translation. He says this. He says, "And we know that to those who love God, who are called according to his plan, everything that happened fits into a pattern for good. God, in his foreknowledge, chose them to bear the family likeness of his son." And it's interesting the circumstances that God uses. And God really doesn't care where the circumstances come from. Again, he doesn't care if there are circumstances you did. He doesn't care if there are circumstances someone else did. He doesn't care if there are circumstances just life does. He's going to use those circumstances to shape Jesus in our lives. That's what he's going to do. It's just how he works. And so, again, I told you at the very beginning, I'm going to tell you what God's doing. What God's doing is God is at work to try and make you more like Jesus, to think like Jesus, to choose like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to forgive like Jesus, to show compassion like Jesus, to show empathy like Jesus. That's what he's trying to do. We're all part of a restoration process. Now, we're going to take communion together, and I think there's three responses. I think there's three responses to this whole idea. Response number one would be thanksgiving, where you would just say, "Thank you that you are at work with all the good and the bad and the ugly in my life to make me like Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you." That might be one response where you know, again, it doesn't mean you like it. I mean, there's times where I've said to God, "God, I do not like this. I wish this was never happening. I would not wish this on an enemy I have. I don't like it." I mean, sobbing, you know, just gut-wrenching kind of pain. But God takes those things and says, and you say, "Thank you that you're using this to make me like Jesus." Y'all with me? So that's one response. Another response is just surrender. Again, this is really painful, or this is embarrassing to me, or this is whatever it happens to be, but just to surrender. To kind of frame everything so that something happens this week in your life. You know, we've been having a health struggle with my mother-in-law. I won't go into details, but a health struggle with my mother-in-law who lives with us, who's lived with us for 10 years. She's, you know, heading on to 89 now. And so, you know, we're working through that, and I'm trying to work from home sometime, and my wife's working from home sometimes, and, you know, just all this stuff going on. And right in the middle of it last Thursday, we have another extended family crisis. That just like, oh my word, I can't believe this. And yet at the same time, I have to just have the attitude. I have to surrender and have the attitude that, Lord, you are trying to make me like Jesus. And you will use everything that comes to make me like Jesus. So, Sarah, when your little kids are sick, you can grumble and grouse, and you probably do a little of that. Yeah. But you can also say, but he's using that to make me like Jesus. Or Pia, when your husband gets a cancer diagnosis, lots of tears, lots of uncertainty, lots of fear. But you can say, but you know what? He's using this to make me like Jesus. Daryl, when your parents are moving out of the family home, to Billings, to live with your sister, you can say, this is ugly. Or you can say, but he's going to use this to make me like Jesus. Y'all with me? It really does. The third idea was it comes to down to perspective. Am I seeing this as God beating me up? Am I seeing this of God attacking me, God being mean to me, God being mean to people around me? Or is it life and God is taking those things, wherever the circumstance comes from, he's going to take those things. He's going to take those things and he's going to use them to shape and to mold and to form Jesus in me. Now, I didn't point these three out. They didn't know I was going to do this to embarrass them. But sometimes we get the idea that I'm the only one going through it. You are not the only one going through it. You think you're the only one going through it because you got your eyes on you. Get your eyes off of you and get them where they're supposed to be, with the perspective that what I'm going through, Jesus is going to use to make me like Jesus. Amen? It changes. It changes. Does it change all the circumstances? It doesn't change the circumstances. It doesn't change the circumstances at all. But it does change what's going on inside of me in response to the circumstances. And the third idea response would be, sometimes the thing that God's using is rough relationships. He's using rough relationships. But here's the thing. When Sharon's going through a rough relationship situation, God's not just using the file on her. God's using the same file on the other person. Does that make sense? See, we can think, well, he's just... No, in a rough relationship, family drama, whatever you want to call it, work drama, neighborhood drama, whatever it is, when God's doing a work in you, he's also doing a work in the other person. That's what God's doing. Sometimes we, get all bent out of shape over something somebody did. Some, Christian did this and some Christian did that and whatever it happens to be, and we're like, oh, Christian, you're going to have rough relationships. Nobody even responded. Christian, you're going to have rough relationships with some other Christians. It's going to happen. You're a person. They're a person. Well, there. And they're going, well, there. You're going to have rough relationships with believers. But if you can have the perspective that God's going to use this rough point right now, this rough patch in my relationship with this person, God's going to use it to form me, and God's going to use it to form them, God's going to be able to do what God's wanting to do at that point. Does that make sense? So I'm not sure what your response is going to look like, whether it's thanksgiving, whether it's surrender, whether it's perspective change, or maybe some totally different thing. But here's what God's doing in your life if you're a follower of Jesus. He's working in your life to make you more like Jesus. And if you're not a follower of Jesus yet, he's working in your life to bring you to the place where you'll surrender.